Our meeting back to order. Do we have anything in front of us right here as far as descriptions of agriculture? Somebody else's way of doing it?
I do have another code book, and I probably, if you give me just a second, probably have some things that we did.
How about we focus on just nailing down agriculture, like Joe kind of had us going there for a little bit. What we're looking at, what do we need to change?
Well, it sounds like we're not going to use acreage.
So we'll take the acreage out.
And if you're into that, I mean, you could leave in the description large tracts of land, or just, it doesn't really matter what large is. You could define large that way. You have some flexibility, but I would, and then we have one dwelling per 10 acres. We would take that out. And if you were going to modify that from an acreage perspective, on the chart, obviously the under lot size, we would say 10 acres larger. We would just take that out completely.
I don't know if you heard us, Bob, but my suggestion was we try to get this the wording on A1 agriculture nailed down. Jim just said something about taking out the one dwelling per 10 acres.
I mean, if we're going to try to focus on not an acreage size, which is, it seems like that's where the discussion is, we would take, obviously, any reference to acreage out of the mix.
Okay. So, permitted and conditional. You've got that set up on our chart here. Or you have something else for us, Eddie?
You'd have just asked me if I had anything where somebody else does it. I actually have 11 different code books. I only brought the one I really like with me today.
Did you read that to
us? It is a first-class county. It is Clay County, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, they do have some stipulations as far as building codes and stuff like that we don't have, so you can't just look at this. But they said density and dimensional standards for agriculture, the agriculture district. They said their minimum lot size is 20 acres. Minimum lot width, 300 feet. Minimum front side setback, 50 feet. Interior side setbacks, 25 feet. So they got pretty particular into that.
Right.
They have that as their agricultural. Then they go into what they call rural residential. So they, instead of calling it that part of the ag, they actually kick rural residential out of the agricultural into their...
But the agriculture is just a specific size?
They said minimum lot size, 20 acres.
Doesn't say
Now, they have their use regulations under conditional permitted uses. But permitted uses, if you buy agricultural land, group homes, class one, detached homes, community recreation, private, daycare facilities, 5 to 10 children or adults, parks and recreation, religious assemblies, safety services, primary schools, secondary schools, major utility service, minor utility service, major utility service was conditional, and animal production. That's permitted by ownership.
I didn't hear anything in there that didn't sound good.
This is minimum two for 20 acres, which means that
if you have
agricultural, unless it has.
I'm talking about the uses and stuff. The sizes, I don't know that we want to go on the sizes
Yeah. And then they have conditional uses, group home, class one, cemeteries, clubs or lodges, colleges, universities, daycares with more children, utility services, major, agricultural sales and service, bed and breakfast, things like that, campgrounds. So as you're going through these things, that's what you define. Now, keeping in mind, if you've got a 2-acre parcel and I want to put a group home on it, and I've said in agricultural, a permitted use by ownership is a group home, then I've got to put it on there.
So that would be a problem, in other words.
Well,
it could be,
because we didn't say it's conditional.
Correct.
I mean, still you would have rules and regulations to define some of that, just like we do now. If you want to put a house on, you got to meet certain setbacks. You got to have a certain, size of lot for. But what I'm saying is, as you think about these things, you got to think about what you're going to permit.
And if you do put conditional, you can require a special use permit to put
right.
a group home on a 20-acre lot.
Right. So you don't have to permit all these things, but you may look at a thing and say, well, you can have a house, or you can have barns, or, you know, there's things that we're going to let you have. You can have it. You can put a church there. You know, you come in and get your building permit as long as you're okay. But along with setting up your zones, you set up your uses. Some permitted just by ownership, some conditional if different circumstances can't be met.
Well, I think we got something to work with there. Let's get a copy of the uses and let's put it on. Take it word for word and let's put it on there and do the uses that either let's put an acreage on it or let's don't. If we do, then that would determine what uses we'd want to leave on there.
Mr. Chair, was that what we talked about originally? We're talking about land usage. And this is more what I thought that we were going to come down here and discuss, not planning and zoning. I'm talking about land usage and where you would define it as whenever someone come in, you could open the book up, and if it said land usage, then you could determine whether you would want to put it as agricultural, residential, or commercial.
We never got past the acreverage thing to get into
the uses. I think we're talking about it in reverse. Yep. I think you have to look. We asked Mr. Tarvin to go out and look at land usage and bring us a map of land usage so that we could determine these factors. Okay, we've got a map over here, and you've got a list of things that you would say that if I'm going to come in and I want to put a small daycare center in, okay, then they would have a district that they would consider under that particular area. I think we've headed into the ag, the other parts too quick. I think we discussed land usage. I think we're posted even as land usage, aren't we?
I have no idea what we're posted.
Yeah. So that in itself, I think, makes more sense in what you would try to establish. If someone come in that door today and said, look, I want to put this in, and I've got a something unusual that they were wanting to put in, and you'd look through that book and you'd say, well, right here, this is defined under this section. Oh, and that looks like that lays within a residential or commercial area. So it's time for planning and zoning to make that judgment whether you can put it in there.
And that's why this is on the back of your, it's a three-page list of possible land uses.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta have a district, you know, to say where does this go. Without a district, you can't really say, I can do this here. Some things you may allow in every district. Some things you may want to put in only one district. But you gotta know that.
Well, there's certain things that has always been brought up that you wanted to put in one district.
Yes,
that almost every city and almost every county with any planning and zoning restricts one particular thing that they want to put in.
Right, and that's why we've got an industrial district on here for you.
Okay.
But you have to define that industrial district. What makes it different from the commercial, or what makes it different from the residential? And if you don't have something that makes it different, then it's not. You don't need the district.
All right. You reckon we could get something nailed down here? Let's do it.
I just wanted to mention one thing, because Jim started out with the 10 acres, talking about the agriculture. And Chuck, you were at the 2, and then at this point, Jim doesn't really seem to need a number or worried about that 10 anymore. So he might be in agreement with the 2 with you, which it seems like it would help a lot of the 45,000 lots we're talking about. Could be, you know, there's definitely, that would lower some numbers if you did pick a number. And now that now that we're looking at having 2-acre lots or more to build on anyway.
The problem if we don't, we got to have agriculture, as we were saying in the break, we need an agriculture to have 20 acres like Clay County. I think we're going to have problems, and
right.
I think we'll have problems at 10 acres.
What do you mean? I mean, all they're saying is that if it's less than 20 acres, it can't be strictly agricultural. It can be some combination, and it can be rural residential, it can be rural agricultural, but anything under 20 acres, we're not going to call just agricultural.
My point, what I'm trying to say is if you got to have, if as we go through this process, if you got to have 10 acres or 20 acres to have agriculture land, even though the assessments process is a different thing, when people see that they can't have agriculture classification on their land at 10 acres or whatever, it's going to be a stumbling block. Maybe. Maybe it's not.
And agriculture is just a label. You could call it alpha, delta, whatever. It's the land use, as Danny put out, what you can do in that zone. You can do agriculture in a rural residential.
And maybe we can work through that. Maybe it's not a problem. When the people see the conditions, what they can do there, maybe it's not a problem.
And if it's just a label as far as agriculture is concerned, you can say 10 acres and above is agriculture one, and anything less than 10 acres is agriculture two. If that's the way
maybe that would solve that.
I don't know. I hate to start adding districts or anything. But.
I thought I just said one thing I'm getting at, and I may repeat myself part of this. To me, the idea that before anybody came here, this was all agriculture. And then people came along and started using it for different things, and they changed the use of it. And so if they started using it for residential, then it's residential. If they started using it for commercial, it's commercial. So to me, if we approached it that the default zoning is A1, and that's what I'm used to seeing. If land has never been changed in its use, it's A1. The only time land is not A1 is if somebody comes in and says, I want to do this and change it. Now, in our case, I guess people have come in and asked for different zonings, but in our case, we would look at what have they started using it for. And if they've started using it for residential, then what you'd want to zone that existing use as is residential.
You're talking about an existing use map and not doing any planning, correct?
Exactly. And that's all we were going to do in the beginning, was to try to come up first with an existing use and then come up with zoning regulations and then zone the rural areas of the county by their existing uses. Okay, so if we take that the default zoning is A1, you could still have a rural residential or an agricultural residential or something along that line that if someone wanted to go from A1 to that, they could. But if the initial zoning for the county for all areas that are not residential, commercial, or industrial is A1, then I don't believe you'd have that stumbling block. Mm-hmm. But you could have a zoning designation in your regulations for AR or whatever you want to call it, so that if a developer came along and said, I would like to do an upscale riding stable residential development, and he buys A1 land and he subdivides it into 10-acre tracts, and they have a central stable and everyone keeps their horses there, and so, you know, that, I mean, if someone chose, if you have it available, then they have something to choose. That doesn't mean that parcels under 10 acres are automatically AR. They're all A1. It defaults to A1 until someone that owns A1 says, I want to come in and zone it to AR or to R1 or to whatever. But that the default zoning for everything that's not zoned something else is A1.
And so doing that, they know what they're limited to when they see it. And if they don't like it, they can say, this is not going to fit me. I want to move into this.
And A1 is the least restrictive of all. I mean, it's just...
It's the most restrictive.
Joe, get back there to the mic for us, if you would, please.
As far as what you can do.
To me, A1, you can do almost anything you want to there.
On your property?
No. Yeah, I'm used to seeing
it. You can't do industrial, you can't do commercial, and you can't do residential.
No. I don't mean that.
Okay.
When he said least restrictive, it's not that aspect.
Okay.
He's not saying No, it's the most restrictive, meaning you can only do specific
uses. Very
as
limited uses.
As the code book.
No, I didn't mean you can build a factory there. But I meant it's just the natural progressive way of living in A1. I mean, you're just out there for living a rural life.
So
right. It's the basis of all zoning. It starts there.
So you're A1, and then we would still need to have a list of permitted uses.
I think you...
Agriculture use.
I think by ownership, you should have a right of uses that you can come in and say, I want to do this, and it should be available without having to go through a big process to do that.
That's what we're trying to...
That's the only thing I agree with you on.
Oh, my.
Come on, Mr. Strahan.
Jim? That threw you off track.
I know. I'm not used to hearing Danny saying, I agree, and we're talking about land.
And he was looking at me, planning and zoning.
Exactly.
Well...
Oh, you want to clarify that now?
Yeah. It's plenty easy to clarify. He's talking about agricultural. Somebody steps through the door there, and they've got a land usage that they want to put it down, and they've got everything else is agricultural, so you go through the same process that you go through right now. You ask if you can put this in. Now, I think once that you get a district, I think that district should supply, either have water, sewer, gas, whatever, if you're going to have an industrial district. Mm-hmm. It should have all those things. And it should be supplied before it's districted that away. It should be available for someone to come in and they decide that they want to put the thing that you brought up was factory. If they want to put a factory in there, then that particular piece of ground should have all those utilities supplied, and it should be a district that it supplies all those things to that district. But that's land usage. That's where I'm going back to what I said and what I agreed with you on whenever you said all the little things that you started talking about there. Somebody comes in the door to planning and zoning. That's the reason you have 9 people sit on this board that's supposed to be educated enough and everything to decide if that usage is all right for that area. And that area is designated for a factory. And it has all the utilities and all the stuff that are required for it. But you don't... If I've got a 1,000 acres out here and I want something put on there that I come up with a wild idea, I don't want to kill the economic development of large masses of land just because we've got a district in one way or the other to where you... I'm just going to say this now. I think I've said it before, but I think this county has took a reverse action on putting everything outside the county. I think we have promoted Stone County with the Western District, with everything that goes towards the Silver Dollar City area. I think the northern end has been promoting Christian County when they move closer to the line. The southern end has promoted northern Arkansas, and the centralized Taney County has been pretty well left out in the cold. So that's the way I feel about it.
Mr. Chair, could I ask Eddie to review what we're getting ready to get close to agreeing on? I believe it's A1 and AR.
My understanding is that we're going to remove all... land size boundaries from agricultural. Everything would default to that unless current use dictates otherwise, and we will create a list of permitted uses in A1. We will create the AR district, which would be kind of a buffer between A1 and full-blown residential, would be my guess as to where that would be going. For the person who is on a smaller tract of land but feels like he might have more benefits in moving up out of A1 into AR.
May I add to that?
Yes, sir.
No agriculture will currently, according to what Mr. Tarvin said, no agriculture will currently be in agricultural residential unless they request so.
Correct.
However, some of the residential may fit into agricultural residential.
That could be a possibility, yes, sir.
Okay.
So I'm looking at what you have here, and animal production, crop production, horticulture, utility service, parks, schools, and churches would all, are we in agreement that all of those would fit in agriculture?
If you, that's what this county has chosen to do.
I just read what you have on your deal, Jim.
That's just a few things I wanted you to consider.
And we're not going to agree on that right now because that's something we're going to create.
But that's why I gave you this list here in the back, and across the top it'll say agriculture, and you can get down through there and say, I think this ought to be allowed or permitted, or this should be conditional, but it shouldn't be.
You need to debate those uses at another time. Yeah. Right. Certainly a start of that list would be a good thing so that you can debate it.
Review by the commission.
But I can put together a list for you to look at if you'd like.
That would be helpful, I believe.
Starting point.
Yep. Joe?
Bob, I think you looked at me and said that in my view that there would be no agriculture allowed in AR.
Not currently. They can always make an application to do that.
But to me, let's say that you wanted to have a couple of horses for your kids, or you wanted to have some goats, or, you know, whatever you might want to do. I think in AR you should be allowed to do things like that that you cannot do in R1, you know,
That's what I said.
Okay,
you said we're using existing uses. So all agriculture is the default, which stay agriculture. And they would stay agriculture until they come in and ask to be agricultural residential.
Right.
However, I said there are some residential that may be classified right now as agricultural residential, where even though they're in a residential area, they can have, you know, a farm or whatever. And I don't think there's anything, unless we put it in our land uses, that restricts in the Euclidean form, agriculture, you can do agriculture. Residential, you can do residential and agriculture, only if you limit what you can do agriculturally in the residential area by your uses, which they'll discuss later, would there be any problem with that?
Right, I understand.
Okay.
Right.
And unfortunately, gentlemen, that's going to come up before long. What's the differences? Because
the differences as you can define them?
Well, I live in a neighborhood, and I'm on just about a half acre tract of land altogether. I don't keep cows. I'm full blown R1, a single family residential, the whole area. I don't especially relish the idea of my neighbor keeping several head of cows next door.
You don't want that in Branson North.
You understand what I'm saying? From my point of view, and I'm not going to push my point of view because you're the elected officials. I don't necessarily want to wake up every morning to my neighbor's rooster crowing because he's keeping a bunch of chickens there. Now, I know we expect the neighborhood covenants to take care of those things. And we're not got to this yet, but I want to put it in your mind, and I just want you to sit on it. But somewhere down the line, we have to understand that neighborhood covenants don't take care of things like this and everything. But that's something we're going to need to consider as we go along. If I live in a fourplex...
We're all getting along so well.
I know it. But if I live in a fourplex, should my downstairs neighbor have a cow, and should I have to buy milk and cheese from him? You understand what I'm saying? We don't address those kind of things at all right now. But as we move through,
we may or may not want that.
So what? Hey, help me out again. Then what's the reason we're having AR?
AR will still allow most of the things. You can have, you know, your farm animals, everything like that. You can.
What's different than A1?
Well, exactly. That's where I'm headed. What's going to be the difference?
That was my first question.
If there's not a difference,
what's the definition differences?
If there's not a difference, there's no use having an AR.
Well, that's what I'm. And then then I go back to, he's on a half acre tract of land. Don't we have to define it by a parcel size?
If you're going to restrict
uses
under, yes.
I don't think you have to do it by an acre size because what you have. In the Clay County, they say if it's less than 20 acres, it can't be in the agricultural area. It doesn't mean that a 40-acre tract can't be residential.
No, I understand that. But the first thing, they defined it. They have a tract size definition.
Right. So if it's less than a 2-acre lot, currently...
If it's less than a 2-acre lot, it can't be agriculture.
Well, We need to look at their code and see what they do, because they've probably got 10-acre tracts out there.
How
they define them.
Right.
It'd be different some way.
The way Euclidean zoning works, unless you limit by your land use in there, agriculture can be done in any district, whether it be residential, commercial, or industrial. Residential can be done not in agriculture, but it can be done in residential, commercial, and industrial. Commercial can't be done in residential or agricultural, but it can be done in commercial or industrial. And industrial can only be done in industrial. And that's the way it's a cumulative situation. Okay. Now, you can limit accumulate what you can do as you move up toward industrial. You can limit how it accumulates with your particular land use. I mean, for instance, you can say in a residential you can't do certain types of agriculture, or in an industrial you can't do certain types of residential. You can do that. You don't have to do that.
Okay, here's my question. We all agree that there needs to be an A1 classification. We're at 1 hour and 55 minutes into it.
Not bad.
And we came in with that.
But we started with that. So what did we have accomplished in an hour and 55 minutes? Eddie, help me.
Generally, everything should default to agriculture. And unless we can have a good reason why it should change, or we should have more restrictive uses on it, then we should move into residential.
So I got to ask this mean question here. I live on a half-acre lot. Okay. Can I come get a zoning for agricultural?
We have not gotten I'll tell you where we are. We've defined our agricultural zones.
How?
We have. By default. Everything that's currently used as agricultural,
if you're in a platted
subdivision, assessed that way, it is agricultural. Okay? Now, if you want to be something else, you say you have a half acre lot and you want to be agricultural.
I'm having residential, I want to go to agricultural.
Okay.
Are you in a platted subdivision?
No.
You can do that by coming in and saying, I want to downzone to agricultural on my half acre lot. And the Planning and Zoning Committee can say, does that make sense? Do you want to have criteria saying you can't do that if you're a half acre lot in the middle of a subdivision?
I'm not in a subdivision. I'm just...
Okay. But you're on a half acre and you got a house.
You're not going to be agricultural.
If he's not in a subdivision, he could be.
I'm telling you, we haven't defined anything. Why can't I be?
If you have a half acre lot with a house on it, you're not currently agricultural.
And I want to be agricultural.
You'd have to come in and get a zoning change.
And why wouldn't I get it qualified for that?
Because you're not agricultural. I mean...
No,
I got five chickens on there.
Let me argue this. You could go to agriculture if the properties around you are not an Eddie Coxie, that if there's properties around you,
okay,
that agriculture is going to offend, say you want pigs or whatever it is,
mm-hmm,
then you're going to have to go through the planning and zoning process and see how it affects. What's the word on it?
I'm literally thinking of a piece of land right now. I've got a subdivision on one side, I've got an agricultural plot on the other side, and it's a half-acre lot right in the middle.
Okay.
So on one side he doesn't offend, on the other side he may.
Right.
Has to come before a 9-member board, as Danny was talking about.
It's, well, sure, to change zoning he does, but
I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a half-acre or it's 200 acres.
Is it predominant use agriculture?
If you're changing the use. If you want to change the use, you're going to have to come before the board.
But if he plants a garden and has a couple chickens...
A goat.
That's all the room.
I'd be more thinking about calling Jimmy Russell and find out what he was growing on that half acre.
As a lot of raised beds.
Because we also talked about
grow lights.
Does the person make their income or supplement their income through this?
Right.
Now, is that a criteria for agricultural?
Is it?
As it stands right now.
Right now it's not.
I mean. You could do whatever you want right now.
But that's what I'm saying.
You can have your horse, you can have a minimum lot size.
I don't see how we can say agriculture without we establish a minimum lot size. You can't. My argument was, based off the definition, I can have an argument for a half-acre house, it being an A1, mm-hmm, and it shouldn't even have an avenue to argue. It's got to be at least a couple acres.
That's
why I started with 10 acres.
But you were in agreement with... Well, you went back to zero.
All right, let's go back to 2 acres. You want an acre?
Let's just start with two.
Two acres and a half.
I'm fine. I'll just... compromise to two.
Well, and then you can say in 2 hours we've done something.
That's all I want to do.
All right, 2 acres.
2 acres
and
A1.
And just A1, there's not an AR.
And we are going to work
on permitted and conditional uses.
Permitted and conditional uses.
And then our next session, which is Wednesday, we can start on residential.
Would you like me to go ahead and
make a motion?
No, this is a work session.
I would like to review this. I would like to review what the city of Springfield did about, you know, they restricted where you could have chickens, but you couldn't have no roosters. You know what I'm saying?
They, yeah, four or five chickens, I believe.
This gets into so technical.
Exactly. And we don't want to go there.
We don't want to go there.
No, I agree. We don't want to go there. What I don't want is people trying to skirt rules to get a better zoning and better, ultimately, assessed value just because they find a technicality in our book.
And the more you try to define, the more technicalities you open up.
I understand. So, but I don't think we start with saying you can do a half acre. No. I mean, let's be real. That's residential.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, see, we wouldn't create that lot today, but I can take you over off of 86 and show you a whole bunch of lots that are less than that don't have anything on them. Now, they were platted as a subdivision, which, again, if we do that...
Farmers Field and Powerside. So, Eddie, streets and lots and...
Eddie, I'm going to ask you a question. Our next meeting is Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
It sounds like we've agreed to A1, and we've kind of settled, have a very loose definition. Can you build off of that for agriculture? So have something for us for agriculture.
Yes, sir.
So then, and then we can be prepared to start talking about residential on our next meeting.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right with you, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Danny?
I've got a question that concerns all this before we ever get started at this, Jim. And the question's been brought up here about these subdivisions that are less than meet any requirements whatsoever. Is there some state statute or something that we can do to eliminate those 25 by 40 lots that are in Powerside or 25 by 75 that can't meet any restrictions on the size? You have to buy 4 lots to build a...
I can address it just a little bit, what they did in Branson, because there was a whole subdivision in Branson, Table Site Acres, I think it used to be called, and I bought some of those lots years and years ago. They're building their R1 designation. First of all, you cannot put a mobile home on an R1 lot. That's their regulation without a special use permit. And their minimum, I think, lot size dimensions prevented a house going on there. So that's how they didn't force the replatting of these lines. What they did is put restrictions that there's no way for you to get a house on it.
Well, here's where I'm going, Jim. And Chuck mentioned it a while ago. There's at Powerside, there's open ranch land down there that has a 15-foot easement between it with 25 to 40-foot lots.
Right.
We need to do, if we're going to do anything in this county before we ever start any of this, we need to do away with that kind of platting if we have a zoning situation.
I agree. Right now, the way it's often treated is, even though it hasn't been substantially built out or if somebody hasn't relied upon it, if it's been platted, they're like, well, they're grandfathered in, and as long as they meet the setbacks, they can go ahead and do it, even though they don't have the minimum lot size that we require. Well, that's not right, and we need to stop doing that.
Worse than what you're hearing is most of these lots that are platted like that are still on septic systems. And so our position in planning and zoning has been and people have bought a lot of, you know, these lots, and they've owned them for years, and their intention is to retire here and build on it, because when they bought it, it was a legally conforming lot. So now they face the situation, if they have to put their own well and their own septic on it, and they can get an approval from the sewer district to do that, then and meet setbacks, we will issue them a permit to build. Bob and I have had this discussion several times that substantially involved, just because the property's platted and everything, you could probably make an argument that person's not substantially invested, I suppose, in that property just because they bought it and everything. But people will build little tiny houses, and I've seen them go up to, you know, 3 and 4 stories sometimes. You know, they're 500 or 600 square feet on the bottom and go up for 3 stories, which gives them their 1,500 square feet. just, you know, to, they'll adapt to the lot size. I'll reference you down off of P Highway, what people have been able to do down there.
But don't you think that's something that needs to be addressed?
It does. I don't think some of this stuff, you know, when the rules change, grandfathering exists, but we haven't defined, you know, what then takes the grandfathering away. If it was changed because of a health safety issue, for us to continue to allow that, then is kind of disregarding the reason that the rules were changed. Definitely something that should be looked at.
Sure.
All right, we're 5 minutes over our other deal, so I guess we're, are everybody all right to close this? Look for Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you, Eddie and Joe and everyone. We got a 10 o'clock executive session, personnel and contracts. Who knows what that's about?
The executive session is for mailroom. We have personnel people to talk about, individuals.
Which contract is it?
The contract, it's contract's not in executive session. I think the contract is after, and that is for the bus docking fee contract. That's on the agenda today.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Do we have something in the executive for sewer?
Oh, is the contract for you?
I
know what it is.
He kept asking me what it was, and I didn't know what it was.
I know what it is now. I know what it is.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go into executive for the personnel, and then I'll bring it up in executive if there's an issue with the contract, so you can start. We're going to go in there for personnel anyway for the mailroom.
Yeah. But if we didn't post contracts, we shouldn't be doing that in executive.
No.
It's posted.
It's posted.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Did I hear a motion? No.
No. Motion go to executive for personnel and contracts.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye.